We have the first weekend, and most surely a good report of that, what God has done. Singing we can always do. Brother Branham said that we can do many things too much, but one thing we can never do too much, and this is to pray. And most important, to pray in faith. Not just to pray, but to pray and to believe that what we prayed for, that it was given to us by God. I actually have many things to report, because Brother Rus didn't read a word. I would like to read one concerning the prayer, and then to give you a missionary report. I am a bit surprised. You most surely notice this. In the Epistle of John it is written. I hope I can find this chapter right away. In 1 John chapter 3 from verse 19. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. There is still another place, namely in 1 John in chapter 5 from verse 14. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. I read this part again. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. There is for everything, for every subject, there are always a number of scriptures. The one says, all what you ask for, it will be given to you. Here it is explained to us in more detail. Everything what we ask in the will of God, this we receive. Our pious wishes must not always be heard. But if we ask in the will of God, then we will be heard. First of all, I would like to welcome all of you very warmly in the precious name of the Lord. All of you from here and from abroad. God bless you. May God bless us. Someday I said, God be with you. And then the brother said, you know, I would prefer He is with us. And then he says, I would say, God with us. And then he included me. And this was very precious to me. And I was grateful to the Lord for such a presence of mind. God with us. That's what the name Emmanuel means. God with us. Not only with you. Not only with me. God with us. Emmanuel. God with us. And when he is with us, then everything will be well. Should somebody be here today for the first time, then we welcome you in a very special way. May I see whether a hand goes up if somebody is here today for the first time in our midst. May I see? Be welcome. Be welcome. God bless you. I see you here. Are you from Eastern Germany? The young people most certainly not. No, you are from here. The young people, they will come in 2 or 3 years. Then everything will be totally different. You all know, we have said it here a couple of years ago. And we also expected it, that a change in Eastern Europe must come. And this we have seen already. This we witnessed here and there. I've said something about it already. We can probably not imagine this. And yet, it's true. God takes care for that his word reaches the ends of the earth. Because he had said so. And if we ask for this, then we most certainly ask in his name. And not only in his name, but also according to his will. Let us read from the Holy Scripture, maybe the first 2 places, to show us from the Word and to let us know that also the authorities are set by God, and that we do well, that we pray if we don't like things. The first one, it's also God's word, what I will read now. The first one from 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. We know that not all earthly governments are according to our measurements. But in the same way we know that we didn't set them in and we cannot dispose them. God alone thrones kings and dethrones kings. In Romans 13, I would like to read verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. It is sometimes difficult to fully understand these words. If we consider which forms of government existed and exist even today, and that one shall be subject to it. But here it is written, and may God give us grace, that also these governments, which we don't like, that we leave them to the Lord. One thing I want to tell you, the believers in those countries are more believers than we are here. To them, that what they have to go through did not harm them. Just the contrary, it helped them. In view of that, that I have given you this missionary report of this journey, I of course had to think about the wonderful word from Matthew 24, verse 14. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. About this text we spoke already sometimes. This gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of a church or of a denomination, but really the gospel of God that belongs to the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which belongs into the kingdom of God, in which Christ has the word and has the say-so, where not people speak, but where He has the say, where He, what is coming up now, where He can reveal and quicken it by the Spirit. When we read some more scriptures, then it will stand out to us that God has really taken care for that at all times, always that what mattered was put upon the lampstand to give the opportunity to the people of God to have part in it, what God has done at their time. Please let us always remember, not a gospel, but this gospel of the kingdom of God. There is only one gospel, only one divine message. And this is not mingled with politics. It is the message of salvation. And this is the day of salvation. It's the message of grace. And this is the time of grace. And all the people who hear this divine message of salvation, they have the possibility to believe and to receive salvation by His grace. I would like to read on from Revelation chapter 5. Here are shown to us two similar places. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9-10. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Maybe also verse 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Aus allen from all peoples, tongues and nations. And not only that, even from every tribe. And it says here literally, of every tribe. If one thinks about it, coming back to the Soviet Union, believe it or not, 86 different ethnic groups live there. There the Kazakhs, and then up to Latland and Lithuania and so forth. This is a great mess. But God, from all peoples, tongues, tribes, nations, and our beloved brother from Zaire, he most certainly knows how many tribes there are. From every tribe, not only from all tongues, from every tribe, from all peoples, from all nationalities, from everywhere. Look, partly we have with you in Austria the same language, it's a different country. In Switzerland, 76% speak the German tongue, but another country. So, from all tongues, from all peoples, from all nations, from everywhere. God expressed himself very clear in his word. No one is left out. Not the Zulu down there in South Africa. And wherever we may go now, I always forget the tribes. Some words, for instance, thank you and so forth. I memorize them in Swahili and in some other languages. But because our brother could test me whether I pronounce it properly, I rather leave it. But as I said, it is written from all peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations. From everywhere, God will have a bouquet. He will have people who then share with him the kingdom. As written here, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We know this will be after the marriage supper, but it's already announced here and will take place when it is so far. A similar scripture that speaks of the great multitude we find in Revelation 7, and here again verse 9 and verse 10. I'm also honest in this. Brother Branham, right about this scripture, he said two different things. Repeatedly he said two different things. One time it is the bride, and then again it's not the bride in Revelation 7. I now decided to agree with that, what he said last, that it will be the multitude which has to go through the great tribulation. I have my difficulties there, but let them be laid upon him. I read from Revelation 7, verse 9 and 10. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and peoples, and tongues. They stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Do you know what kind of thought comes to me here? When we read Matthew 25, of the five wise and of the five foolish virgins, and know that it's all virgins, that they were all pure, holy, undefiled, and that they all went out to meet the bridegroom, that they all fell asleep, but that they also all woke up, and that they all got ready to meet the bridegroom. And then it suddenly said that the moment came, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." And then the wise answered, "No, this is not possible, for then it would not be enough for us and you. It would not be enough for both of us. We have just enough for us. Go ye rather to them who sell and get their oil." And then there are the words which are very serious. "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut." And then the other virgins came back and knocked. According to that, what Brother Branham said a couple of times, very clearly, it is here in Revelation 7, right about this multitude who lacked to be part of the first fruit. They lacked to be part of the first resurrection and rapture, but who remain faithful when the great tribulation sets in after the rapture, and who do not deny the Lord. They will be there, as it is written here, also from all peoples, tongues and nations. What concerns me, I wish that it would be so, because just imagine, it could happen to me, it could happen to you. Let us not be stone-hearted here and think he who is not raptured, he can jump in the lake. No, if he is a child of God and was born of God, then he shall be with the Lord. If he is not part of the first batch, he shall be part of the second, but he shall be with the Lord, right or not. Praise be to our God. Don't you worry. God is faithful, and he will reward the faithfulness of those who lacked the oil to be part of it. You all know, I said this before, and I must laugh a bit here. I've said it here before, and not only here, but also somewhere else. I've said it when it was proclaimed loudly that the Lord has come already. There I just said, listen, as long as Brother Frank is still on the earth, the Lord has not come yet. And then someone said, you seem to be very certain of yourself. I said, it doesn't only seem, I'm very certain in this. But somebody else was also very attentive, and he said to me, but listen, Brother Frank, Brother Branham said that he himself doesn't know whether he will be part of it. Who are you that you are now saying that you will be part of it? I said, listen, firstly, he was very humble, and secondly, he just wanted to emphasize and said, if from Jeffersonville only one would be raptured, then I believe that I am the one. And this faith each one of us must have. If we don't have it, then it looks very bad. We cannot ask somebody else whether you have certainty that you are part of it, and am I certain that I will be part of it. But the smiling did not refer to the statement of Brother Branham, but really to the majestic experience that I had at that time. And therefore I know that I will have part in the rapture. To this I, yes, amen, thank you. But as I said, this is yes and amen. Experiences with God give you such a strength in the faith. This you can really believe me. And God knows exactly what He does. He knows exactly at what time He gives certain things. Right then, when we need them, when any other comfort would not help, then He has mercy on us and lets us know that we found grace in His sight. And on whom He has mercy, on him He has mercy. Coming back here to this word, do you all agree that Revelation 7 includes those who actually are not part of the rapture, but who were believers, who were born again, who had oil in their lamps, who woke up, who went to meet the bridegroom, but for the rapture it was just not enough. That they are those who then withstand, who remain faithful, and who are then with the Lord before His throne. Supported is this thought by the statement that is given to the overcomers in Revelation chapter 3. You all know, if Brother Branham has never said a doctrinal statement, then I always feel quite safe because God helped me with it. However, if he said something, then it's very difficult for me to see it a bit differently. In Revelation chapter 3 is written in verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, not to be before my throne, but to sit with me on my throne." There in Revelation 7, the multitude is before the throne. The overcomers are on the throne, to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father on his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So one can say, if one puts these two scriptures next to each other, that the first fruits, the overcomers, will sit with him on his throne, and they will rule and reign with him. The multitude in Revelation 7 will serve him. I read it to you, so that you know that it is written. In Revelation 7, from verse, maybe 13, 14, and 15, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Here we must stop for a moment to emphasize that with a moment of the rapture, the time of grace for the nations has reached its end. But this doesn't mean that those who experienced the grace of God, but who are not part of the rapture, that they are then cut off of this grace. Just the contrary. They had an experience with God, and they have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and they can prove now their faithfulness during the time of the great tribulation and remain faithful because they know in whom they believed. Beloved, this should really be a comfort to us. Well, somebody may say, it seems that you don't believe tonight that all who are present here will be part of the rapture. As we said earlier, definitely no one can say it. Many who thought to be there will not be there. Others whom we did not expect, they will be there. Let us believe together that God will give that what is not here yet. Before the rapture, there must be people, and to them we most certainly can number ourselves, who will also experience the completion, not only the calling out, but also the completion. I read here now, verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Look, if this would refer to a multitude who would be accepted at the last judgment, this is totally impossible. After the last judgment comes the new heaven and the new earth. Then there's no day and no night anymore. The eternal morning breaks forth, and the sun never goes down. As long as in the Holy Scripture it speaks of day and night, then it does not pertain to eternity. Here we have some translations which leave a lot to be desired. Also in Revelation, the Greek word aeon was translated as eternal, and they will be tormented forever, day and night. This doesn't exist at all. Eternity has no night anymore. Then time has merged again into eternity. Time has a beginning, and it is written, and this we believe, God created all things, and evening and morning marked the first day. Not morning and evening, of evening and morning. If you would ask today a Jew, an Israelite, when does the day start with you? He doesn't say at 5 in the morning, but when the sun sets, for my sake, when the Shabbat starts on a Friday evening, you can all watch them. They just look until the sun disappears on the horizon. And then it starts. Shabbat Shalom. They know exactly what God has said. From evening and morning became one day. Not from morning and evening. This wouldn't work, because then it goes back again from the evening into the eternal morning, and no evening comes anymore. Amen. God knew exactly how and what He does. But now coming back to this word here. They serve Him day and night in His temple. I could take you now to Revelation in chapter 21, that says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lamb and the Lord are the temple of it, and so forth. You all know the Holy Scripture. Let us read on. Are you all satisfied with it? If God really some or half of them who have become believers, who truly were virgins. And this you can believe me, Brother Branham said it. The word virgin means pure, holy, undefiled. Like for instance, Revelation 14, when it speaks there of the 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. Then it says, these are they who were not defiled with women. And you all know, woman, spiritually seen, is church. In the Old Testament, you can read it in Hosea, in Jeremiah, Israel was the wife of God. God has laid His seed into Israel. And so in the New Testament, the beginning was made with Israel. And then the salvation turned to the nations. For thus it was written in the prophet Hosea, and it's written even today, those who were not my people shall be called sons of the living God. And those who didn't ask for me and who didn't seek me, I will let myself be found by them. Also, this word we have to understand correctly. Why there are so many misunderstandings, I don't know. Somebody asked me just now, on a journey, whether I would also go to Israel, because salvation comes from the Jews. That's what he told me. I said, as far as I understand it, salvation comes from God. For all the world shall see the salvation which comes from our God. That's how it is written in the prophet Isaiah. I can read it to you. In chapter 49, it should be. Yes, there is a large number of scriptures. And it's also in the New Testament, in Luke 1 of Zacharias, in his spirit-inspired prayer. So salvation comes from God. But salvation came to the Jews, for God revealed Himself to His people Israel. And then came the time that the salvation of God, that firstly came to the Jews, should come to the nations. And thus it came from the Jews to the Gentiles. But Jesus Christ was not a Jew. He was not a Gentile. He was God manifested in a human being. He was Emmanuel. In Him pulsated neither the one nor the other blood. In Him pulsated divine blood. And in this divine blood was divine life. I can sometimes not stand it. And you all know that Mary, on that day on which she called Joseph to be the father of Jesus, she brought heavy guilt upon herself. When she said, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously. 3 days they walked around, and the Lord, being 12 years old, remained in Jerusalem. And there Mary really made this statement, your father and I. And here Brother Branham said literally, the word corrected the mistake on the spot. And the Lord said, I must be about my father's business. And he was not in Nazareth in the carpenter's workshop. He was in Jerusalem in the temple. And do you know, since that time we don't hear anything of Joseph. He was present and he didn't say anything. To our Catholic friends, we have to say this one day somehow. That also Mary was fallible. And then the fallibility of their Pope will probably also collapse. God will give us wisdom and grace. Somehow I have the impression that He will let us find words which somehow do not hurt, but which give clarity. We don't live in the days of Reformation. I read even today a sentence of Martin Luther. It shouldn't be repeated here. This would be absolutely unthinkable to take such words into the mouth today. But God will help us to find the right words, but yet telling the truth without compromise, that really nobody can pass right or left. He has to face God and His word, and then he either decides for it or against it. We still have to read another word, namely from Galatians 3, to show us again the subject concerning my missionary report. To just finish the subject, Galatians 3, in verse 8 it says, Galatians 3, verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Not only one nation, but all nations. And by grace we may also be among them. But God Himself said through the mouth of His apostles in the book of Acts, chapter 15, at first it was Peter and then James. And James was the one who said the following, verse 13, Acts 15, namely verse 14 and 15. Simeon has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. We over and again emphasized it here, and we looked at it. Nothing is more important to let God have to say so. That God gives us through His word the teaching and the information which we need. That one doesn't take one scripture and interprets it into a direction which one likes, but simply going from scripture to scripture and thereby coming from clarity to clarity and from truth to truth and from knowledge to knowledge until we come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and thus really recognized like He wants it to be recognized. Somebody told me recently in what kind of way Brother Branham is glorified. God doesn't want all this. God doesn't want a cult of men. God seeks worshippers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. When I now, on my last flight, was reading that story, it doesn't fit here right now, but I rejoiced about it. When the article was written about this Shroud of Turin that originates from the 16th century, and not as they claimed that it was taken from the tomb of Jesus, I rejoiced about it, and I thought, this is the thing which God lays into my hand to then ask and make a question mark also behind all the other things. And then to ask when these things started, dating back, everybody can do what he likes. You all know, people date things back 100 millions of years, and then they rejoice that the people swallowed it and then they walk happily on their way and think, huh, this was really nice. God lets these things happen now, not already 40, 50 years ago. He lets them happen now, so that it is now checked that this is not correct at all. And then one can rightfully ask, what is actually true of all the doctrinal statements, of all the dogmas, of all the things which they deal with? When did it start? Who started it? Where is the biblical proof? And behold, it doesn't exist. There's no foundation. It's an abyss. An abyss, no foundation. And I don't know if the people then don't understand it. When we try to help them in every way, then God will still have a rich harvest. You may say, Brother Frank, then you most surely have the impression that it will still take some time. About this, I cannot tell you anything. I have only the following impression, that we have to redeem the time and work as long as there is a day, for the night sets in where no one can work, and we will be glad if we really one more time can in some way come to the public as it was never here before. And as we said, by just putting things onto the table which cannot be taken away from the table anymore. For then I will be available with a Bible in the hand, and if need be, with all of church history. I can buy a small truck and then drive to the council. It doesn't matter to me. To then set forth from the Word of God and from church history to bring the proof what is biblical and what is not biblical. And here you don't need to have a lot of fancy thoughts. Namely that what is not biblical is unbiblical. And that what is not in agreement with Christ and is against Him is antichrist. The conclusions are not as complicated as some math problems. They are all solved by themselves, by the grace of God. And believe me, only because we live in this time, therefore God has given us the privilege to get this deep insight into all these things, because we have the responsibility to give to this generation the offer of God's grace. But if the multitudes believe that they believe correctly, what then? Who wants then to return? No, God Himself will take care for it. As we said it in the beginning, that this gospel of the kingdom of God, the everlasting gospel, is preached to all peoples, tongues, tribes, and nations. Not that what was later on added, because this must be put off and must fall to the ground. Something shall be exalted, namely the Lord. I don't mean now in the sense, you all know it can be understood twofold. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, then I will draw all men unto me. And He spoke of the cross on which He had to die. Please read it precisely. And here we must be very careful. He was nailed to the cross. This was a lifting up for a shame. He was stripped naked, beaten, spit at. All this belonged to it. But then He was exalted above all heavens and received a name which is above every name. And here Brother Branham says so nicely, now He must look down to see the sky, because He is right up there. All right, be it as it may, our God will take care for it, that everything at the right time, in the right way is done. And believe me, I have yesterday, whenever it was, yeah, we translated the interview that you didn't watch yet of Brother Branham, when these two brothers from Los Angeles came and made an interview with him. And then the one asked if his ministry would not be very effective in Israel. And he said, yes, it would be effective, because the Jews want to see a sign. The Greeks demand wisdom. But then he wandered from the subject, because he knew that the time is not here yet. However, it is written in Romans 11 that they must be provoked to jealousy. And so we see that God must do in the bride church really such great things, namely in the finishing, in the completion, that the whole world wakes up, and that also Israel says, all right, if the thing is like this, and this is happening through Christ, then he was probably truly the Messiah, whom we didn't receive at that time. God has really given us grace, also by that we see the Godhead in the right way, namely by revelation. Not by putting things together, but by revelation we see it in the right way. I've said it here already before, when Brother Branham, on that morning, wanted to lay the cornerstone for the tabernacle, he saw a vision, and he was transferred under the blue sky, and he saw two mighty trees, one on the right side and one on the left, and both trees full of fruit, but so much fruit on both trees. On one tree the word Trinity was written, on the other tree the word Oneness was written. Some wanted that he comes to them, and the others wanted that he takes sides with them. And Brother Branham did it in that way, as it becometh to a prophet. He laid the one hand around the one tree, and the other hand around the other, and he shook both of them mightily. And then he says, the fruit fell so mightily from both trees. And the Lord said to him, the tabernacle which you want to build now is not your tabernacle. I have ordained you that you carry the message, so that fruit is brought in from all over the earth. Look how God does it. God doesn't take sides. How often was I in meetings, I think here on Kenya. In 4 weeks from now, you will see a bishop here who arranged the meetings for Bonke and also for me. God willing, he will be here on the first weekend in November. Their brothers got so angry with me, and they said, you may not come to us anymore, because you went to the people of the Trinity. How shall I call the people out? Of course, only by going to them. There's no other way, right or not? If one remains outside, one cannot call them out. One has to go in there to be able to call them out. And I really want to do it, like Brother Branham did it. And I wish it to all my brothers, that they do it the same way. Not taking sides, everywhere where there can be fruit, shaking mightily, preaching the word, and bringing in the harvest, so that the reward of our Lord and Redeemer would be worthwhile. He will take care that everything takes place at the right time. I'm really happy that we see already the change. And did you all hear it? World Bank, world here and world there, everything world. And the world has become small, Today the rich cannot drop the poor, otherwise everything will perish. Today everyone has to participate. And as already said, this is all because of prophecy. The platform is already prepared. And the end time takes shape. We know the time is short. How short, we don't know. But we would like to redeem the time as good as possible. And Ezra said, carrying the wonderful word. For me, and this I say in closing, it was a confirmation of that, what we believed and said here. Namely that what I saw there in the Soviet Union and what I experienced, that really the believers, without any fear, can come together freely, singing as loud as they can, praying as long as they like, giving glory to the Lord. Some didn't realize their freedom yet, but this will all still come. Even good things one cannot realize overnight. But God, who watches over all things, has also taken care of that things take their course there, namely so that His word really reaches the ends of the earth. Him, the Almighty God, we want to thank, and should it be confirmed that the Lord takes the first fruits as the five wise virgins at the return as bridegroom, that He takes them to the marriage supper and then includes the rest before the establishing of the millennial reign, then we would be happy. I would be happy. I would be happy. Now I make a statement which one actually shouldn't make. But just imagine, I would be with the Lord and would not see some whom I loved, with whom I counted with, and I wouldn't see them. Perhaps there would come up a woe in us. I don't know. God knows it. I don't know. Today I know that it's impossible, because our brothers and sisters have not yet the resurrection body. Today it's impossible. But when they will have the resurrection body, or when we get it then it will be different. But what do you think what would then happen when the bride, all who were raptured, then return with the Lord to start here the reign for the 1,000 years, and there we would meet again with many who remained faithful in the great tribulation. I think tears would flow there too, and therefore it's written in this connection, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. God will still wipe tears. Don't you worry. Be of good courage. We want, as Paul said, we want to strive to have part in the first resurrection. That means in the rapture, in the translation. But this all shall know. If it turns out that we didn't make it, not giving up, remaining faithful, then it's soon over, and the Lord knows His own. No matter in which classification they would be then, important is that we are with the Lord. Because look, even at the last judgment, books will be opened, and the book of life. And those people who are then found in the book of life, they will also enter into eternal life. That's how it is written in Revelation 20, from verse 11 to the end. May God bless us all and be with us. Amen. Let us stand up and worship together. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts we thank You for the great privilege that we may live right in this generation, in which You have put Your word of prophecy upon the lampstand. Yes, in that generation in which you sent your servant and prophet and revealed all the mysteries of the word. Yes, you revealed yourself. We thank you for it. You came down in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. You manifested yourself as the same yesterday, today, and forever. Beloved Lord, may this divine message, in its clarity and truth, may it reach the ends of the earth. May from all peoples, tongues, tribes, and nations, people be called out. Dear Lord, we believe that we arrived at the end of the end time. We see it because you anointed our eyes. You let the light shine brightly of the word of prophecy in a dark place. And we are no more in darkness because we have the light of the word. And your revealed word is a lamp unto our feet and a light on our path. Yes, in your light we see the light. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to you. He who follows you will not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. Faithful Lord, thank you so much, especially for that, what now is taking place in the Soviet Union. We ask you, dear Lord, may you include the German Democratic Republic and Romania in particular, and then Bulgaria and Albania. All the others are already on the way. You are just and faithful. You will lift up your hand and then you speak a word. And you are using men here on this earth, in every area, politicians for the political area, the religious for the religious area, the experts of every kind in their area. But you have a church, you have a people, a blood-bought multitude. Dear Lord, may those who fear God gather in your name and call upon you. Hear us and answer and bless by your grace. To you, the Almighty God, be praise, honor, glory, and worship for everything in Jesus' holy name, now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.